Owning a home, is it the American dream or is it an overrated financial nightmare? Today, we're ripping off the for sale sign and diving deep into this topic. To buy or to rent? Plus, I'm going to spill the beans as to why my keychain doesn't have a key for a home, or at least one that we're paying a mortgage for. So you don't want to miss this episode. You are listening to Her Dinero Matters, the podcast helping Latinas have increased confidence and control over their finances. My name is Jen Hempel, and as an accredited financial counselor, my mission is to help you be more confident and simplify your finances so you can save more, get out of debt quicker, and build your wealth. Currently, we live in a time where the prices of homes are at an all-time high, as well as the interest rates. The interest rates, in fact, are the highest they have been since the year 2000. But what hasn't changed is the mentality on purchasing a home. You still hear time and time again that if you rent versus buy, you're just throwing money away. And homeownership is just seen as, when you do buy a home, it is seen as a sign of success. So should you buy a home? This episode is not to be an anti-buying a home episode, rather to challenge the mentality that many people have when it comes to renting a home or renting a place, and really challenging that in a way where it's not necessarily a bad thing. So in today's episode, I'm going to share with you some of the things to consider when buying a home. And I'm also going to share the exact numbers that you need to compare the actual cost, the true cost of owning a home versus if you were to rent a home. And finally, I'm going to tell you why we are choosing, my husband or my family, my husband and I are choosing to not buy a home, what we're doing instead. Finally, I'm going to tell you why we aren't going to buy a home, at least for now anyway, and what we're focusing on instead. So you ready? I was brought up in a household where buying a home, setting those roots was buying a home. And in doing that, that was a sign that you have made it. That was a sign of stability. That was a sign of success. So when I got my first job, or my first full-time job out of college, and this was before my husband was in the picture, I was already starting to look at real estate. And even besides purchasing a home, I was also looking at investing, what it would take to invest in a property that I could rent. So I started looking at those things because I thought that was the thing that I needed to do. So after we got married, I met my husband, and after we got married, we were sent to our first duty station where we actually lived on base. And that made sense at the time because we literally just got married. There was no money. It just wouldn't make sense to buy a home. And then after that duty station, we were sent to a new duty station where it just made sense. Well, it made sense to not live on base and live elsewhere. So that's where we thought, oh my goodness, we can buy a home because, again, paying money on rent was seen as throwing money away. So we purchased our first home back in probably late 2002, early 2003. So we bought that home thinking, even though we're military, we knew we weren't going to be there forever. But in our mind, everybody in the military that bought a home just rented it afterwards. So we're just like, okay, that's what we do. We'll just rent it afterwards. Fast forward to 10 months later, we were supposed to be there several years. We were relocated overseas. So what did that mean? We had just bought this new home, new to us, and we had to move. And at that time, we rented the home. We were lucky that one of our neighbors, their mom, wanted to be close to the family, so she rented our home. So that just made sense. It covered the mortgage, and it just made sense for us. Fast forward a little more, the market, this was in Arizona, started to boom, and housing were tripling, quadrupling in value. And so we decided, well, maybe it's time to sell. Granted, we were very considerate of our tenant, and we waited until her lease was up, because we're like, we're not greedy, but it's definitely time to sell. So what happened was we waited till the lease was up for our tenant. Then we put on the market, the house on the market, and the market bombed. Like, it just crashed. And so our home was worth less than what we owed. So we weren't able to sell it. And then at that time, we were back in the U.S. and we were paying rent. And fortunately, because we were saving, we were also paying a mortgage. Because remember, the tenant was gone. And so that was not fun. We definitely diminished or depleted our savings pretty quickly, because again, we were paying rent and we were paying the mortgage of an empty house, a house that we were trying to sell. So it took forever to sell. We came out ahead in the sense of we got a check. But did we really come out ahead? Because we were paying months and months and months of mortgage in an empty house. I believe we had to do some work on the house. So I didn't do the math because I didn't want to, you know, be sad. But even though it showed like we made a profit in terms of the sale of the house, did we? Because for months and months and months, we paid that mortgage. So then after that, I was really disgruntled in terms of how the real estate agent was, how he was or putting the effort or not putting the effort into selling the home. So I actually became a real estate agent because I wanted to learn more. I'm like, what? I feel like he could be doing better. Well, why isn't the home selling? Now, obviously, part of it had to do with the market. We had decreased the price of the home. I mean, we had done all the things that we could do to sell the home. So I became a real estate agent. Granted, we not in the state of where our home was. Remember, we're in a separate state. And later on, I got the bug. Or we got the bug to buy a home because I was in that career field where we could find, you know, really the good homes. And then I would save on commission and all that because I was the one representing us. Anyways, we decided to buy a home. We were already a couple years in this new duty station, which meant we knew we were moving. We didn't know when, but we knew we were moving. And we were living in a state or an area, city, where the stability of the housing market, meaning the homes never really went down or didn't go up too high. It just kind of, it was very, very stable. So that's why we're like, well, this is a good place to buy a home. We still had the mentality, just like a lot of military families have, that after we leave, we just rent it without really doing, even though I did the homework as a real estate agent of making sure we bought in a good location with good schools and everything, but not really looking at it from the perspective of it being an investment home, because there's a lot more that goes into it. And so we did buy the home. We did move. We rented it. And then in this market, where this city, where it was just known to be very stable, I don't remember why we decided to sell it, or I don't remember what the reason was, but we decided to sell it and the same thing happened. The market crashed. This was 2008, 2010, somewhere around there. So we experienced again paying rent and paying a mortgage. Fortunately, we didn't have to pay that as long as the first house. So that from then on, we're like, we are not buying a home again. We just are not. I mean, for the long run, as long as we're in the military. So that was our experience. And so I do come from a place of having that experience. But of course, I'm not anti buying a home. We just learn some lessons. So when it comes to considering buying a home, a lot of people forget to consider the cost beyond the mortgage, like maintenance costs. Eventually the house we'll need a new roof because there's going to be wear and tear on the roof. There might be siding if you buy out, you know, siding to be replaced, air conditioning, the heater, the furnace, you know, all that good stuff. So eventually the house will be need some maintenance, and that depends on the house and what was done before and what needs to be done. And that needs to be built into the budget. It's just kind of like maintenance for the car. You need to be putting away some money because you know these things are coming. So you need to make sure that you can afford not just the mortgage, but the maintenance, the insurance, the property taxes that don't, like, I don't know of any property taxes that have gone down. There may be, but I'm not familiar with that. So you want to make sure you look at the cost of a home outside of the mortgage. Again, what it takes to maintain it. You want to look at the total cost of your loan. And that is in the form of an amortization schedule. And I'm going to link up a resource where you can put the cost of a home, the interest rate, and it's going to come up with an amortization schedule of what the house is, the purchase price of the house is, how many years you're taking it out, the interest rate, and what your total cost is, your total cost of interest, all that stuff. It's really good to know those numbers. And you want to make sure that when you're looking into buying a home, that you buy something that you can afford. You don't want to buy more house then you have money, even though it may look like, or even if the lender may say you can qualify up to X amount, it's not using up to the X amount. You really want to look at making sure you don't buy more, you know, that you're paying less than 30% of your income. So that is some things that you need to consider when it comes to buying those costs. And then when you want, and you do want to compare what it costs to buy versus to rent. And to do that, these are the numbers that you need. You need, of course, what the mortgage will be, the cost of maintenance, you can estimate that, the property taxes, the interest, closing costs, the HOA if you're going to have one. And so typically you want to add 30. The guidance is out there is that you want to add 30 to 50% more. And you can use a calculator. There's three calculators that I found that you can use. One is from NerdWallet, and they supposedly kind of adjust some of the things based on your location. I'm not sure if it did because I tried different cities and zip codes and I refreshed and I don't know. I didn't see some of those percentages change, but you can try it out. There's also one from calculator.net, and all those are going to be linked to the show notes. And the calculator.net is literally, you have to input all the numbers. The other calculators use an estimation, but this one you have to input, yes, the mortgage, but you have to put an estimation for maintenance. You have to put an estimation for property taxes and all of that. And the other one is a Smart Asset and smartasset.com. And that also has like some percentages similar to the one at NerdWallet, but you can check them out and play around, because what I liked about it was the one at Smart Asset. It'll tell you if you plan to be in the house for more than 5 years, then it makes sense to buy. And in some places, like let's say DC, where cost of living in, or California, where it's super high, if you plan to live in this house for more than 20 years, then it makes sense to buy. If you don't, you need to rent. So it's literally telling you that up to below 20 years or so, you should rent. But if it's more than 20 years, then buy. So it's really handy. I'll make sure that I link those in the show notes. So that way you can do your due diligence and you really compare and make sure that buying is a good decision for you. It may or it may not be, depending on your situation and depending on what those numbers look like. And you want to also take in consideration that you will need to put some sort of down payments, typically 20%, but depending on where you're at, there may be different options for you, being a first-time homeowner, those type of things, or if you're military, you can do the VA loan, those type of things, where it's 0% down. But all of those things have some sort of a cost. Now, you may be in a position where renting is the best option. And if the mortgage payment is more than the rent, then you may want to consider investing that difference, right? Investing in your retirement, or investing the Roth, wherever it may be, or in for your kids' college tuition. whatever that may be for you all. So I wanted to share that. And also, finally, I just wanted to share why we're choosing not to buy a home. Even after having that, those two experiences that were very similar, they were painful, but we got through it. For now, we're choosing not to buy a home. We're still living the military life. We're still moving every so often, and it just doesn't make sense for us to buy one. And this gives us some time to watch the market, and hopefully when we are ready, or when we settle down, if you will, maybe the market will be in our favor. And plus, we also want to make sure we're able to help our boys during their college years, which is, as you may know, is a considerable amount of money. And meanwhile, what we're doing is just preparing financially for that down payment, but we're prioritizing our retirement. So I hope that you found this valuable. I hope that you got some new nuggets out of this. If you're contemplating buying a home, if you're trying to decide, especially in the times that we're living, where houses are just really expensive, interest rates, they're not as high as years and years ago, because years and years, like back in the 50s, 60s, I may be off, the interest rates were like credit card interest rates, right? And now they're still lower than what they were like years and years and years ago, but they aren't as low as they were in the 2005, whenever they were super low. So that interest does make a difference in terms of what your cost of what your for that loan is, right? Let me know what you thought of this episode, what you found most valuable, or what you would have wanted to hear more about. Feel free to contact me. You can find me on Instagram, send me a private message. If you're on my email list, just email me. I will definitely email you back. So I appreciate you being here. Now, next week, we're going to be talking about money habits. And I'm going to be really diving into those money habits that keep you stuck, what you can do. So you don't want to miss that episode, because you may be thinking, oh, I've heard about money habits, spend less than you make. But I'm going to be diving deep into that, and I'm sure you're going to be able to take something away from that episode. So stay tuned for that. Bueno, pues that is everything. Thank you so much for joining me. I know you have a ton of podcasts to choose from, but you chose to hang out with me. So thanks so much. You can tune into the show notes over at jenhemphill.com/395. That is jenhemphill.com/395. Remember that being the reina starts now simply by claiming it. I believe in you, and so should you. Nos hablaremos el próximo jueves. Ciao.